Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life. And joining me today, Dr. David Stoop and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi there.
Hey, Steve, good to see you.
Hi, and what a treat for me to get to sit next to Dr. Dave Stoop.
Oh, my.
Dave, don't, it's not a small thing.
It's a privilege to sit next to Alice, Dr. Alice.
Yeah, it's not a small thing at all. And if you want to join us, we're going to be in the studio for a couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, one of the great Bible translators, Dave, you probably have read his translation many times, J.B. Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Ring a bell, right?
Sure does.
I was reading something about when he was doing some translation. And he said there he had some serendipitous moments of insight. And when he came to translating one part of the New Testament, he came to this part where it literally translates directly to saying that God is rich in mercy. And he said, I couldn't move on. He said, that is such a profound thing that we have a God that is rich in mercy. And you know, so many of us were just sitting around in shame and guilt and remorse, and if we would just come to God and cooperate with God, the redemption is there. There's no need to live in that shame. And I'm saying all this to say this. A lot of you guys, I was just meeting with a guy in my office here who went to Every Man's Battle 4 years ago. Now he's leading a group. He just won a guy to Christ a couple of days ago. He is living the life that he never dreamed that he would live again. And his wife is supportive of him. And other men are connected to him. Everything that isn't in your life can be restored. That's what God wants. He is rich in mercy. And we've got Every Man's Battle coming this Friday. And some of you wives know your husband needs to be there, and you've got some kind of excuse of not saying, hey, listen, it's time that you take care of this problem. Work through that fatal excuse that kills the opportunity for growth, and do whatever it takes to encourage him. Some of you, he has been unfaithful, it might be appropriate to demand that he go in light of the hurt that you've experienced. But you guys, listen, to say to your wife, look, I don't think I'm a sex addict. I don't think I've got the worst problem in the world. But I think if I go, I'm going to end up being more proud of myself, be more a man of character than ever before. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to get this lust thing taken care of. One of the things I heard yesterday from someone was, my husband doesn't like the word powerless, so he doesn't want to be in recovery. Mm-hmm. Well, when we say we're powerless, we're just saying we have, in one area of life, an extreme limitation. Doesn't mean we're helpless, and it doesn't mean we're hopeless. But to admit that I, in my own power, can't handle this is a big, strong thing, and we reach out. So I'm just going to encourage you, if you're a wife or if you're the man, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is not too late. By Sunday, you could be the man you always wanted to be on that track. By Sunday, he could be that man. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk to you 2 hours. Dr. David Stoop, Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn here on New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, the author of many books, Smart Love, one of those. The latest book, Dave, with the retitle, that title is, what would it be?
Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life.
Change your thoughts, change your life. Always a good idea. Change your thoughts and change your life.
That's the one we were moving around on the rack in Dallas Love
Airport.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, that's right. It is an airport rack book. That's how popular it is. And then Alice hasn't published yet, but she's working on it. So she'll get there. But if you need a resource, we've got 1-800-NEW-LIFE to call. We would love to tell you all about the resources, but a brand new one, 20th anniversary, all new brain science, all this great, great new information in Every Man's Battle, and a gift of any amount, I'll send you the brand new book, Every Man's Battle, and I'll tell you, it's got some great, great insight. We gave one yesterday, but you know, another thing, it's kind of scary when you read about the difference in a pornified man and a normal man. A pornified man becomes so objectifying of women, he doesn't even want to have a daughter. If he hasn't had children yet, he doesn't want to have a daughter. It's so interesting. They did a study of men that support women's rights. And if you're a pornified man, within 6 weeks of using pornography, they were able to figure this out, that your support for women's rights drops about 50% because of the objectification factor of pornography. So if we want to honor wives, honor women, we don't use pornography. And plus, it's your first, most direct contact with sex trafficking, and we explain all that in the book. A gift of any amount, Every Man's Battle, comes to you. But first, let's go to EJ, Boston, Massachusetts, and the station is WEZE. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi, EJ.
I'm fine, thanks. Hi, I'm calling about my husband's issues of jobs, not being able to find a job, and he had gone to school to Harvard for engineering. And we live in the Boston area, and he's really, really having a hard time, and I'm frustrated. He's doing odd jobs here and there, but I just don't know what to do. I don't know if he needs deliverance or what's going on.
Well, I think one of the most difficult, horrible things is for a man that is so qualified and educated to find it difficult to get work. Now, is he actively seeking work? In other words, you know, his job is, he's doing the right stuff, he's connecting, trying to get work, or is he so depressed over it that it's hard for him to continue to search for a job?
He's searching, but I think he's depressed. He says he's not. I think he needs some therapy, but he's refusing to go.
Okay. And then, is he being realistic about his options? I mean, is he able to see that maybe it's not going to be like it was before? That he may not get the best job ever right now?
Yeah, I think he's aware of that because this was in the 80s when he graduated, and he doesn't have the experience anymore.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, Dave, what do you think? I mean, what's the best advice for a guy that's... I mean, it's just a horrible place to be. I remember when I was out of a job before New Life started. It's really a tough thing for anybody, especially, I think, a man.
Especially for a man, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that what was going through my mind, EJ, as you were talking, was that maybe he doesn't like being an engineer. And he's fed up with it, and it comes through in terms of the interview that he's not enthused about the work. And one of the things I would talk with him about are, what other kind of career path are you interested in? If he graduated in the 80s, he's at midlife now probably, and that's a time of evaluating, knowing whether you're in the right slot, and things are working out, and things aren't working out, so... Make a change. Go for a different kind of career. And talk with him about that and see how he feels about it. I have a brother-in-law who did that. I know other people who did that in their late 40s, early 50s. They totally changed the direction of their work. And they were enthused and motivated until they retired.
And it's just a great thing to say, okay, what I've been doing isn't working. And so now let's try something different and explore some things. And I is he a dedicated believer?
Yes, he is.
Because sometimes
he's praying and fasting about this issue.
Well, you know, sometimes we've seen people, they actually go into ministry because this is God uses this kind of a break, but. I know this. He needs all the encouragement from you that he can get. Any kind of criticism can really be tough, and it's hard to. You want to encourage him to get some counseling, work through any kind of depression, but he needs to know, you're there no matter what.
And what
Alice, you have some thoughts? Let's hear what Alice has to say, give you some help.
Well,
here.
EJ, I bet that encouragement that Steve is talking about is very hard for you to give, especially if this has been a lengthy time of unemployment and it seems like your husband's not listening to you and some of the feedback that you're giving him. So you really need an outlet, too, apart from your husband, to be able to express your frustration with safe peers who can hear you and support you and love you through this time, because you need to get fueled so that you can go back to your husband. In normal times in marriage relationships, we need to counter every negative statement or complaint to our spouse with about 5 positives. And your husband probably needs a little bit more positive than that, as he's so uncertain right now in his purpose in life. So get the fuel so that you can support him in that way, because you've got a very tough job now while he's unemployed.
The other thing I want to add this, something I was just advising someone the other day. If you're not working, find a place to volunteer or 2 places to volunteer. And perhaps in volunteering, one of 2 things happens. Wherever you volunteer, one day they say, you know what, you're so valuable, we'd like to hire you. Or the other is, in your volunteering, you come in contact with people, you meet people, and that results in employment. Maybe not what you were thinking, but something totally different. The main thing is, don't sit on the couch, don't be depressed, don't isolate, keep moving, which is so very hard to do during those times.
Steve. Well, he's obviously doing some work as a handyman, and maybe that's an area he ought to develop into a career.
Yeah.
And think about it.
Odd jobs.
But people need, there's the commercials on TV about Tackle and those organizations that have people that do odd jobs, and they're trained to do odd jobs, and there's ways to turn that into a career, and there's demand for it.
Yep, and the other thing is, just one final little thing, is being involved in a men's group at church. You meet other people, you're active, and it can be embarrassing that you don't have a job, but when you break through that barrier, that's when you humble yourself and God can lift you. you up. EJ, I hope you'll be a great encouragement to him. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. I hope that he'll read that. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. There's some great stuff in there. It's going to help you be an encouragement to him. I'm really glad that you called. All right, let's go to Mary Ann. She's calling from Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Mary Ann. How are you today? What's going on?
Hi. I've listened to your show for 15 years, and I knew when something happened, I needed to reach out. We live in a small town in Virginia, northwest of D.C.
Okay.
I have a 12-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son, and on November 22nd, two months ago, my husband was driving to our local high school football game with our daughter, she's 12 and a half, and her friend, who's also 12. A tree fell on their moving vehicle, and my daughter suffered a very serious brain injury.
Oh, my goodness.
I stayed with her bedside for 19 days in the pediatric intensive care unit in Fairfax, Virginia, and she didn't improve, and she passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's been just really hard for us. I'm not working. I don't think I can go back. I was substituting, and on that day, I was substituting in her school. So we drove to school that morning, and we drove home together that afternoon and just had a very nice day. When this happened, I was obsessed with, does she remember me in heaven? What is she doing? Because when you're a mother of a child that young, you always know exactly what they're doing every minute
right.
of the day,
sure.
pretty much.
Yes.
They're at school,
right.
they're home, they're at their friends.
Yeah.
So that was my first question. I've kind of come to peace, but I still don't know. Does she remember me? Does she love us? Does she remember her life here? Is she happy there? I think she. Maybe she's playing with pets and babies like she loved here. But my question now is, people tell me to find comfort in God, but how do I find comfort in him when I feel he had a place or something to do with this because she didn't survive and this tree fell on her when there were so many variables that it was almost like it was meant for her to be injured and not survive.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I am so sorry for this. And I want to tell you, there are two kind of fields of thought on something like this. I don't agree with one of them, and I'll tell you this. The thought that God planned this and had his hand in doing this is the one that I don't believe in. And let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
God has great plans for all of us. But he says he'll wipe away our tears, but he doesn't say he'll prevent our tears. And in a fallen world, evil steps in, destruction occurs, and the plans that God has are interrupted. And when they are, he is there for us, but he is not there to prevent every bad thing from happening. When I went through a divorce, I remember saying to God, you know, God, you never promised that you would prevent me from ever someone betraying me and divorcing me. And I remember going through the time of thinking, but you could have, you know, and all of that. It's natural that you would have all of these feelings. It's such a short length of time. And it is time for you to be questioning, to be experiencing despair and depression. So I want to give you some solid answers, and all three of us do, and some encouragement. But there may be someone listening thinking, yes, you know, this was God's plan all along. No, I don't think so. But I think what God does, like in the case of Johnny, Erickson, Tata, she dove into shallow water, and then God did something with that tragedy. I don't think he caused it, but he used it. Now, I don't think he caused her death so he could use that with other people either. He's willing to use it. He can use it. But my theology is fallen world theology. Horrible things happen, and we're forced to respond. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And just really a tough phone call here with Mary Ann, who lost her daughter in just one of these freak accidents at age 12. Dave, what are your thoughts here?
Well, you're right on in terms of it's an evil world and evil things happen to good people, and it's not God's plan, but God uses it to work out something new and different that's going to be incredible in terms of your own growth and the growth of your family and what God wants to teach you. Wondering about what your daughter's doing, I think you have license to make it as beautiful as you want, because it is heaven. And she's aware of the good. She's aware of what the family's doing. She's having a grand time because she's in paradise. And I don't have a verse I can give you that proves that. I just know that that's the way God works. And you can assume and move forward on that basis that he's involved and she's involved in the good things and the positive things, that the best things you can think of.
Well, Mary Ann, has anybody told you about Randy Alcorn's book about heaven?
No.
Okay. They have or have not?
Have not.
Okay. Now, I really think, given what you said about your curiosity, I think if you would just order that on Amazon or someplace, if I had a copy, I'd send it to you. But it's one, I think it's one of the most wonderful descriptions of heaven. Just like you were saying, is she playing with pets? You know, he really believes that the animals are there and the grandeur that we have here, it's all magnified, but he's, you know, he doesn't eliminate like a beautiful stag deer that would be in heaven. So I want to recommend that to you to help you with your curiosity. The other thing is, there is healing, and the sad thing about healing, it requires work and time, and experiencing this mercy and grace from God that is there. You know, you were saying it's hard to have God comfort you when you feel like he's part of this. And my belief is that he comforts us so often through other people. And you really have to, you know, when you have a hard time understanding why from God, you really need to, rather than isolate and do all the things that may become more natural to us when we're hurting, you need to force yourself to be open to be with other people, but not get too busy. But I just have to say, you know, you'll never be the same, of course, and anybody telling you that it's all going to be better, you know, it's going to be painful, but it won't be this kind of pain if you'll do the grieving, connecting, do the work, and then eventually whatever you question about God, that'll all work out in time. God understands how painful this is, and isn't going to hold it against you to blame him or anything like that. So just give yourself the same kind of grace and mercy that God gives you. Alice, you have a comment or two here you want to share?
Well, Mary Ann, as a mother of young children, I truly can't imagine how difficult this is for you. And as Steve is pointing out, as you look for God's comfort, I hope you allow yourself to express your anger, especially with perhaps in a grief group with parents who have lost children who could understand better than any of us who haven't lost a child like you have. that there is a time to express our anger towards God and our disbelief that he allowed this to happen, and even to be able to express that perhaps your faith is shaken, your faith in his goodness might be undermined because of this, and that would be completely understandable, and God can handle hearing that from you. David does that a lot in the Psalms, where he feels abandoned by God, but he does cling to his faith through that time. And I just want to finish that verse that Steve was giving you, because it comes from Revelation 21:4, that we're promised about heaven that God does wipe away every tear, like Steve said, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying. So we do have that promise that there is a joy in heaven that cannot be taken away from our loved ones there.
But I feel like my daughter, I mean, at 12 and a half, she really didn't have a lot of grief and tears and issues. I mean, she was a very happy little girl. She never gave me any problems any day of her life. And right. I feel like when you say there's no that, she was too young to even experience any of that.
Well, another angle too is you never know what was up ahead for her either. And I was just talking to one of our supporters, and the daughter married somebody that turned out to be a sex offender. There are horrible things in this life. She will never have to deal with those things because she is in heaven, and she is in the presence of God and his love. And so I'm just throwing out some little tidbits here, but nothing I could ever say is going to overcome this deep hurt and pain. But in time, if you continue to reach out and stay open and grieve and deal with all the anger and the sadness, a better day will be there. If there was some way we could help you, we would, but you have to do this.
You know, one of the things that I learned from parents who lost children was to set up a memorial, things that remind you of her. So one of the fears that people have when they lose a child is that child will be forgotten. You don't want to forget her.
We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking with Mary Ann. Lost her daughter just in November. Really tough time. Alice, you had a final word here for Mary Ann.
Well, Mary Ann, we're all frustrated because we know our words right now are inadequate to you. But I was recalling that Dr. John Townsend mentioned on the air one day that when he lost his parents, which is totally different than losing a child, but when he lost his parents, he talked about them and about the loss and the grief and the anger a great deal. And he found, and evidence backs this up, that it really does lessen a lot of the pain in the period of grief as we allow ourselves to talk about it and we allow the emotions to flow. And when my mom died soon after that, I recalled what he said, and I put it into practice. And I got my safe people around me and said, I'm going to have to come to you and talk with you and maybe cry and maybe be angry, and would you be my comfort in my ears for a while? And it helped me greatly in the process. So we just so hope that something we have said gives you a little bit of light, a little bit of hope, and another step to take as you move along.
Yeah. Marianne, I'm going to send you this devotional, 100 Days of Healing. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. And then we have a workbook for grieving, and I want to send that to you also. And I want to thank you for letting us share in this painful time, trusting us with you. And it's, I think you can tell we don't really have very, very comforting, helpful things to say in such a horrible tragedy. But we love you. We hope you'll be gentle with yourself and give yourself all the time you need for healing.
Thank you.
Okay. Hold on. Get some resources there to you. And I'm going to ask everybody here to pray for her. Pray that God will bless this family and that lives will be touched. Not that that's why it happened, but that it did happen. Somebody could be reached in some particular way. All right, let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, I want to be here for these kinds of calls, and the only way we will be is for us to get the help and support of folks listening.
Steve, we got a gift in the mail. Somebody sent for a scholarship, a woman, and here's why she sent it. She said, 5 years ago, our son Richard attended your Everyman's Battle Workshop in Denver. It changed his life. He's still attending weekly support meetings. He's fully employed. He has a loving family. We can't thank you enough for your ministry. And she signed her name. And I'm just thinking, that's it. That's the exact thing we're looking for. You see, experience, hear about life change in some way and how God is working through New Life, that would give you the impetus to say, I want to get behind that. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself, something that has meaning and purpose. And this is it. So, folks, would you please make a gift? I know there are people that have never given that have listened for years. And I know some of you have maybe just turned it on the first time this week. Doesn't matter your situation. The gift will be used to make a difference in people's lives, and God will honor and bless it. You can join Club New Life, which is a monthly giving program. We would really appreciate if you did that. And you can just make a one-time gift and help us along. February is a tough month. December and January are really good because January is carryover mail and gifts from December. But February, it's like everybody's taking that big inhale and deep sigh. So please help us this month.
All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll send you a copy of the brand new revised 20-year anniversary Every Man's Battle. Would love to get that to you. All right. Let's go to, how about we talk with Maria, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WRGN is the station. Hi there. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking.
How can we help?
Well, I have a son that's 42 years of age. He's brought up in a Christian home. He's never met his biological father, and he's having pain about that. First he was on alcohol, then weed. Now he's on meth. He is so thin. He's not eating. He's not drinking. He goes out in the morning, come back late at night, and rings the doorbell, wake all night, and he's very rude to me. He has put his hands on my neck, and I've called the police on him. They've gone to take him to jail, and he said if he goes to jail one more time, he's going to commit suicide. And he won't work. He won't get in a I told him he need to get in a program, and I don't know what he has a son, and I just don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end.
I'm so sorry. Well, you're not alone. So many others end up in this horrible, horrible bind. The father not around, is that right?
He's never been around. He's never met him.
Okay. All right, Alice, why don't you start us off here? I mean, this is just a horrible situation. What are you thinking?
Well, Maria, oh, I hear your tears, my sister. And in situations like this, it can be so common for us parents to get stuck feeling very guilty that our son is behaving in these ways, especially because his father isn't around. And I'm wondering if that's something...
He's never been around.
Yeah.
He's never been around. He's never met him.
Yep. And I wonder if you feel some guilt for some of the pain and the loss that your son has experienced.
I do. But I never met my father either.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
So what can happen then when we feel so guilty is we try to protect our adult children from some of the consequences of their behaviors. And I heard you say you're afraid somebody told you that your son might commit suicide if he goes back to jail again. So with all these fears and guilt, it's very normal to be a little bit overly protective of our children and not to allow them to experience any of that pain from the choices that they're making. But most of the time, they need that pain to be able to make some better choices, to choose treatment, to choose help. I have worked, Maria, with so many addicts who were grateful to their parents that allowed them to be in jail again, or that allowed them to have to live in a homeless shelter or in a program like the Salvation Army, rather than protecting them too much, because it was those difficult choices the parents made that let the children choose health and sobriety and treatment.
So what she's saying is
he's been in a program at the, but he finished the program and he came back out and started doing the same thing.
And if you had talked with us, we would have said he needs to go right back into that program. Dave, what do you think?
But he pretend he's going.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, he's got you, Maria. He's got you on a treadmill where he's just using the father absence as an explanation for why he's acting the way he is. And there's nothing we can tell you that you can start doing today that will fix him. You got to fix you. And I have told people for years that the only way you're going to fix you is to go to Al-Anon and learn how to let go. Pardon?
I've been to Al-Anon. I didn't feel comfortable there, but I've been there.
Well, you got to keep on being there, because it takes a while to learn the principles, because they don't spell them out on a chalkboard saying, here's principle number one, here's principle number two. You hear it in stories, and eventually it begins to sink in, and you begin to change. You got to change you to make a difference.
So you go there, you get support. I think you need to ask a male pastor at your church to come over and support you, and where you say to him, there's the Salvation Army, there's the mission, but you can't stay here anymore because you're threatening me, you're holding me hostage, you have to get some help right now, and I can't not force you to leave just because you threaten suicide. I can't do that. And so you need somebody that will help you be safe if he threatens you again. So you need somebody with you. But the right thing to do is the right thing to do. And it's not okay to let him threaten you to the extent that you would let him just exist as he is. His son needs him. Life, God, all of us need him to pull this together. And he's a very resistant case, but it can be turned around if you start to do some things differently. And you say to yourself with support, he has to make whatever decision he's going to make. But for me to enable evil to continue in my home, it's not going to result in anything different than him ruining his life and that of his child. So really going to encourage you to do the brave thing. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. It'll help you take charge to become the decider of your life, the defender of the value of your life, and the developer of good things for you as God directs you. I'll get that to you. Listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Tough, tough phone calls today. Pray for the folks that we talked to. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Alice Benton. All right, let's, how about we go and talk right over here to Karen from Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hi, Karen, how are you today?
I'm very well. How are you today?
Doing okay. What's going on with you?
Well, I just wanted to give a word of encouragement to your caller who has lost her daughter. I lost my daughter 14 years ago in a very sudden accident. And I just want to let her know that, you know, that it's never easy, but it does get easier as time goes on. And the things that I found helpful to me is I always do something special for her birthday. I do something special for her anniversary. I set those days aside. For myself, you know, I take the day off work. I go to a ladies retreat every year for her birthday weekend. I have a special event I do every year. She had epilepsy and autism. There's an epilepsy event that takes place every year on her anniversary weekend. It just kind of falls that way. And so I do that. It's a happy event. So I use that to help me to have a positive event to go along with her weekend.
What helped you the most? What helped you the most in those early days of loss? Do you remember what helped the most or what was helpful?
Yes, the thing that helped me the most was, you know, allowing myself to feel all my feelings whenever I had them. And to not let anybody say, you shouldn't feel that way. You know, it's been long enough, you shouldn't feel that way. Because, you know what, there's no timetable on grief.
That's
you know,
right.
Everybody feels
especially
different.
When it's a child.
Everybody's grief is different.
Yes.
And, you know, unless you've lost a child, you don't have any idea how it feels. Only someone who's been there can speak to that. And
yes.
What I tell people is, you know what, you know yourself and you know your child, and you know what, you have to do it your way. There's no right or wrong way to grieve, and you do what makes you feel good and what makes you feel comfortable and what gets you through it. I surrounded myself with people who knew my daughter, who loved my daughter the way I did, and I talked about her, you know, because, you know, like you were saying, you know, you're always afraid that people are going to forget your child. Like, you know, you're afraid that they're just going to disappear from everybody's memory.
Right.
And so you want to talk about them. The people around you are afraid because they don't understand. They're afraid, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about it. Maybe it'll make her sad.
Yep.
But people don't understand that talking about your child is actually what gives you peace and what helps you. Because that's the one thing that helps you through that grief period.
That's right.
You know, so you get a few friends who understand that and say, you know what, please don't be afraid to talk about my daughter because she was a big part of my life. And because she's gone, you know, temporarily, and I'll see her again when I get to heaven, you know, doesn't mean I don't want to talk about her, you know.
Yeah. This is such good encouragement. And really, I'm so glad that you called us, and I'm glad that you cared enough to want to reach out to her, Karen. And let me send
you. Well, you know, there's just nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
thank you
so
for
glad.
That.
I'm so glad. It's
and
my
I
pleasure.
Hope,
and you know what? Just find yourself a good support group.
Yes, ma'am.
I went to Grief Share. I would strongly suggest that you go to a Grief Share group near your home, you know, and get into. And surround yourself with some good people that love you and care for you, and don't be afraid to tell them what you need and when you need it.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you for that so much. And let me send you a copy of the Restoration Bible, just a way of saying thank you for caring enough to call and encourage someone else. I've probably got time for one more phone call here. But if you want to join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. Susan, WEZE, Boston, Massachusetts. Don't have a lot of time, but I thought I'd try to get to your call. How could we help today?
Hey, I appreciate you coming to back to me. I just have a question. I'm from a large family. I've got a lot of siblings. We've always been very close because our dad had a job that made us move around the country a lot. In recent years, we're all in our late 50s, 60s. There have been a number of things that have happened in the family that have caused really strong disagreements to the point that one of the six of us has kind of separated and taken the grandchildren and kind of away, even though they all live nearby each other and we're all in a family business together. Like all the grandchildren from that sibling have left that company.
This doesn't have anything to do with money, does it?
Nothing to do with money, more to do with power structures in our family, I'd say.
Okay.
One of the grandchildren, so multiple members of the family of my siblings worked for the family business, and then the grandchildren, many of them, like there are 31 grandchildren or so, many of them worked for the family business also. And so one of the grandchildren, who's an adult, tried to fire another one of the grandchildren, even though they didn't have authority to do it. And that was one so there have been multiple kinds of problems.
Okay.
And I'm just
so what's the question for us?
How do we even attempt to start reconciliation? Because people are so strong about what you did was wrong and I don't want to hear anything you have to say, or what you're thinking about what happened is wrong and I don't want to hear anything you have to say. And then there's another problem, another disagreement that happened. That sibling who separated from the... Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to cut you short here because of time. But it sounds like to me this is one of those situations where the only agreement everybody needs to come to is agree to bring in a third party to do a little bit of mediation. And that's going to be a tough thing to get people to agree to. But you guys probably aren't going to be able to settle this yourself. And so I'd be working toward an agreement that we could all get together and have somebody mediate this, look at all the issues, and help us come up with some way to survive and then maybe once again reconnect as before as a family in honor of, you know, all that Dad and Mom put into that business that's there. You think there's any possibility for that?
Well, some of them sat down with a pastor who ended up more just listening and not really mediating. I think that that sounds like a great idea. There's another bigger disagreement that happened later where one of the adult children of the sibling who had separated from the family wrote a letter to one of my other siblings and said, "Hey, I know that you sexually abused me when I was a child, and so don't have any contact with me." And the sibling that got the letter was like, craziness.
So all the more reason that you bring in a professional. You say to folks, look, the pastor didn't help. We've got big issues, and we need help, and you just get whoever will come to come.
Out of reverence for our parents.
Yeah. And you may have something that needs to be reported. Not a good situation. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or you can help us, 1-800-229-3000 for the next
Thanks
program.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.